Welcome to Madrid en Inglés, Madrid in English, a tour, a colorful educational tour of our capital, Madrid, and of our province, La Comunidad de Madrid. Learn English with me, with Richard Vaughn, using Madrid as our base of operations. Yeah, let's go. Hello and welcome. Welcome to a new edition of Madrid in English, Madrid in Inglés. Here I am with you on a Sunday morning, as usual, from 10 to 11 o'clock in the morning. It's a good time to improve your English through this class, although this isn't really an English class. It's indirect. It's an indirect class, digamos. Let's say. Cuando dices, digamos que es una clase indirecta, digo, let's say, contracción, let's say. Y la S de let's se enlaza, se alarga la sonido de S con say. Let's say. It's an indirect English class. I'm talking about myself, my life, but especially Madrid and the province of Madrid. As you know, my name is Richard Vaughn. I'm an English teacher. My job is to teach English. Your job is to improve your English as much as possible. And this is free. You don't have to pay for this. You simply need to sit down and listen to this radio program for 1 hour or for 50, around 50 net minutes, minutos netos, the class. But I enjoy it. I always have fun doing this program every Sunday, and I hope that you enjoy it as well. I hope that you enjoy it too. I hope that you also enjoy it. Also se mete en medio. Tú o as well, para también se pone al final. I hope you enjoy this program too. I enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it too. I hope you enjoy it as well. I hope you also enjoy it. Previo al verbo. I hope that you also enjoy it. But in any case, I'm here to talk about my life in Madrid. Well, not really. I'm here to talk about Madrid, and I'm using my life as a pretext to talk about Madrid. And in my life, where am I now in my life? I started my life last October, my life in Madrid. Last October, I began, I think October 6th. I can't remember. A Sunday. I started talking about my life, but when I came to Madrid in 1972, at the age of 20, as a student. Now, if you have just discovered this show, then you're missing everything I have done up to now, every Sunday. So I have done maybe 12 hours, 4 hours in October, 4 in November, that's 8, 4 in December, that's 12, 4 in January, 4 or 5, that's 16, and 4 in February. Yeah, it's 20, almost 20, yes, 20. And so, almost 20, we're still in February. But in any case, so if you're interested, I think through the website of Onda Madrid, a la carta, I think you can probably find the past programs, and you can catch up. To catch up is alcanzar el ritmo cuando te has quedado rezagado. To catch up. You can catch up on the programs, or simply you can catch up. Because it's very interesting, I think. At least it's interesting for me. Interesting. Fijaos, interesting. Interesante. Pero nos comemos una sílaba. No solemos decir interesting, cuatro sílabas. Solemos decir interesting. Interestante, literalmente. Interesting. Interesting, aunque los tejanos decimos, bueno, yo no, pero dicen interesting, como si la T no estuviera. That was real interesting. Okay, interesting. So, but now I'm in 1982. How old am I? Let's see, in most of them, my birthday is in November, so most of 1982, I was 30 years old. Where was I? In Madrid. Where was I living specifically? I was living in Barrio de la Concepción. What street was I living on? I was living on Virgen del Val Street. I was renting a flat. How big was the flat? 92 square meters, so it wasn't very big. Did you have a car? In 1982, yes. I had two cars in 1982. Two cars. Well, what do you mean, two cars? I had a Simca 1200, but I sold it in the summer of 1982, and I bought a Peugeot 505. A Peugeot 505. And why did you buy a Peugeot 505? Because my parents came to Spain to visit me, my wife, and my daughter. My daughter turned 2 in July 1982. My daughter was born in 1980. My son was born in 1984. So for the moment, my son was still simply an idea. But my daughter turned 2. Fijaos que se dice turn, como tornar, girar, torcer, turn. Cuando es cumplir años. Ayer cumplí X años. Yesterday I turned X years. So turn, which is not true. My birthday is in November. So most of 1982, I was 30 years old. I turned 31. In November, La Almudena, the 9th of November. Yes, Madrid celebrates my birthday with a holiday, but not in my honor. In the honor of La Almudena, one of the two patron saints of Madrid. Madrid has two patron saints, San Isidro, whose festival is celebrated or held, se dice más hold, como sostener, is held on the 15th of May, and then, of course, La Almudena, which is on the 9th of November. It's interesting that Madrid has two local holidays, and the community of Madrid has a holiday as well, the 2nd of May. Yes, el día de la levantamiento contra Napoleonic troops, the beginning of the War of Independence in Spain. Or as they say in British English, the Peninsular War. It began on the 2nd of May, 1808. And the rest is history. And so in Madrid, they have three holidays concerning. But in the States, people don't. I lived in Houston. We had no holidays. I lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We had no local holidays or state holidays. People in Spain like holidays. A mí también me gustan los días festivos. I like holidays, but we have to work as well. But in any case, so I was living in Barrio Concepción in a small flat, and I had a Simca 1200 that I sold in the summertime, and I bought a Peugeot 505. Why? Because, I repeat, my parents came to visit us in Spain together with my sister. So three people arrived in Spain, and I made plans for them to see Madrid a little bit and then to see the south of Spain. And so I rented two cars. I didn't want to use the Simca. I rented a normal small car. And I rented a Peugeot 505, S-A-T-E. That means with fuel injection. It was an incredibly good car. The best car I've ever driven in my life, to tell you the truth. The most comfortable drive I've ever had. And after spending a few days in Madrid with my parents and my sister and my family, I remember taking them to Casa Paco, down near the Cava Baja, Arca de Cuchilleros, down in that area. And other places. But then we drove to Toledo. We had lunch in the Parador on the other side of the river. And, of course, the beautiful view of Toledo. We spent a little bit of time in Toledo. Then we drove down to Córdoba. And we went to the Parador of Córdoba, which is outside, just north of Córdoba. And then we drove to Granada. And then we drove to Seville. And there my sister had to return to Colorado. My sister at that time was living in Denver, Colorado, and she needed to return. So she caught a flight from Seville to Madrid, and then from Madrid to New York, and then from New York to Denver. Long return trip. And I turned in the small car to the travel agent, the car rental agency in Seville. And then my parents and my wife and daughter, the five of us, los cinco, en inglés dice los cinco de nosotros, the five of us, continued to Ayamonte from Seville. And we crossed the Guadiana on a ferry because the bridge that exists today hadn't been built yet. And we traveled to Faro, we traveled to Sagres, and then to Lisbon, and then we returned to Madrid from Lisbon, stopping in Mérida, stopping in Sotillo Radrada, and then finally Madrid. And so we're back, and that was in the summer. And I was so impressed with that car that I decided to buy a Peugeot 505. However, my wife's godfather, El Padrino, had a trucking company, and he convinced me to buy a diesel. He said, they're better. And that was a big mistake. It was a good car, but it didn't have the same comfortable drive of the Peugeot 505 STI. STI. And so, but that's life. Now, what was happening in 1982 in Madrid? Okay, well, I was working. My most important clients were the same as the previous year that I mentioned last week and the week before. John Didi Berica, Tractores, Cosechadoras, etc., Empacadoras. The farm equipment. Aquí se dice maquinaria agrícola. En inglés solemos decir farm equipment, equipo de granja. Farm equipment company. Number one in the world, number one in Spain as well. Very good company. Excellent company. They were my most important client. My second most important client was Ericsson, which at that time was called Intelsa, Industrias de Telecomunicaciones S.A. And their main headquarters were located in the Polígono Industrial de Leganés, near Sarte Quemada in Leganés. John Deere was in Getafe. So they're very close to each other. And my third most important client was Amper, which is also a telecommunications and electronics company, a very good company at that time. Today, I don't know. I think it's still a good company. Yes, good technology, good people, I think. In any case, those are my three most important clients, but I had about maybe 15 or 20 more companies. And in 1982, I was managing maybe 20 or 25 teachers, full-time and part-time. Not all of them were full-time. Maybe 15 net teachers, profesores netos, full-time. And so I was busy. My business was very successful. My clients were very happy. And I was working out of my house. I didn't need an office because all of the training was performed in the companies, what you call formación in company training. And so I could manage the business from a corner of my bedroom with a computer, a printer, and a telephone. And that was it. And so it was a very good business, very profitable for me. The embryonic moments of my growing empire. Todo imperio empieza por una molécula. Y todavía estaba en la época más molecular de mi pequeño imperio of teaching English. And so that was in 1982. And so I was living with my wife and my daughter in Madrid, in Barrio Concepcion, and I was traveling every day. I went to Leganés and to Getafe. And sometimes I went to Condesa and Benedito Street, no, el otro. I can't remember. Last week I said the name of this street. It's called, Amper at that time was located on a street. All right, next to Condesa and Benedito. Calle Condesa and Benedito, and I'll find the name of the street that Amper was located on, which is Calle Torre Laguna. Yes, just on the corner where Torre Laguna, just where the Torre Laguna, the bridge crosses the Barcelona highway. Autovía de Barcelona, Autovía number 2, right? A2. However, at that time, the bridge didn't exist. That bridge was built later, a few years later, not maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years after that. And so I spent my time in Leganés and in Getafe and in that area near the M30 and near the Barcelona Highway and Torre Laguna Street a lot. But I was also teaching at Coca-Cola on, I'm forgetting the names of the Josefa Vacarta Street. And I was also teaching in other companies. I was very busy. Now, what was happening in 1982? Well, 1982 was very... in Madrid? What were the most important newsworthy events? Well, at the end, in October 1982, the Socialist Party won a historic landslide victory in the general elections. You remember Felipe González saying, vamos a crear 800,000 puestos de trabajo. That was a very controversial statement. He said, we will create 800,000 new jobs. I remember Pedro, el humorista. I'm forgetting people's names. He said, no he dicho 800,000, he dicho 800 o 1,000. All right. But in any case, Felipe González, together with Alfonso Guerra, in the Socialist Party, they won the elections in October 1982 by a landslide. Land is tierra. Slide is deslizar. Se ganaron por un deslizamiento de tierra. ¿Eso qué significa? Eso, la forma en que dice, por abrumadora mayoría. Como si fuera una luz de nieve o un deslizamiento de tierra. They won a land, se dice mucho en inglés, a landslide victory in the general election. They won absolute majority. Yes. And that ended the 5 or 6 years, about 6 years, I think, of UCD, Unión de Centro Democrático, because Adolfo Suárez created the UCD in 1977, or at the end of 1976, but basically the beginning of 1977, and this is in October 1982, so 5.5 years, UCD was more or less calling the shots. Calling the shots means mandando, llevando la voz cantante, calling the shots, more or less. Although also we had the Pactos de Moncloa, you remember, and other initiatives. But nevertheless, one of the most important events in 1982 in Madrid and in Spain, of course, was the Socialist Workers' Party winning a landslide victory. And Felipe González became the Prime Minister of Spain, and he continued for 14 years until 1996. Wow. Long time. What else happened? Oof, 1982 was a very important year. Spain joined NATO. You remember? La OTAN. Do you remember the Socialist Party had a slogan? OTAN de entrada no. Which is un juego de palabras. Said de entrar, nada, no. O de entrada, no, pero no se lo pensaremos. Because the expression de entrada normally means, miren, de entrada no estoy de acuerdo, pero déjame tiempo para sopesarlo. Yeah, that means inicialmente. Initially, Okay. So it was a strange slogan that was a bit ambiguous. But in 1982, in May 1982, when Leopoldo Calvo Sotelo was the Prime Minister of Spain, the country joined NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It was a controversial move, a controversial decision at that time. But it was an important step in the country's, international reintegration following the Franco dictatorship. So it was part of Spain returning to the world, joining the world again. What else happened? The World Cup, do you remember? The FIFA World Cup in 1982. Yes, that could be considered, more important perhaps than the elections, although I don't agree with that, but at least more people were paying attention to the World Cup than to the elections several months later in October 1982. But I have to take a break now. I'll be right back, so don't go away, okay? Don't go away.
Porque los toros son cultura, son arte, son espectáculo.
Los domingos de 11 a 12 de la noche, El Toril con Julio Martínez, en Onda Madrid.
Mejora tu salud y tu vida con Espacio Orgánico, tu centro de alimentación 100% ecológica. Nos encuentras en Alcobendas y recientemente en Majadahonda, en el centro comercial Equinoccio. También puedes hacer la compra online en www.espacioorgánico.com.
101.3 y 106 FM, Onda Madrid.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, we're back for our second segment of today's Sunday edition. It's the only edition of Madrid en Inglés, Madrid in English. And let's continue. I'm talking about my life. I'm talking about Madrid and Spain in general in 1982 when I was 30 years old, most of the year, with my two-year-old daughter. Well, she turned two in July 1982, July 15th. And my wife at that time was 27. And my wife was born in 1954, April. So in 1982, she was 28. She turned 28 in April. April 1st. My wife's birthday is April 1st. Primer día de abril. Which in many countries, including the United States and Great Britain, it's el día de los Inocentes, Santos Inocentes. I spoke about this last week. But in any case, so what happened in 1982? Well, Felipe González became the prime minister. Spain joined NATO. And also Spain hosted, se dice en inglés, anfitrió, como, o sea, fue anfitrión. Se usa anfitrión como verbo, como si existiera un verbo. Spain hosted the World Cup. And if you remember, it took place in many cities. The first game that Spain played was in Valencia against Honduras. And they lost, I think, or they tied. I can't remember. It was a surprise. Spain against Honduras. I can't remember. You know, I'm going to look into my... I'm going to open up my... Yes. España. Let's see. España. Honduras, 1982. Let's see, 1-1. Yes, I remember because Honduras scored a goal and then Spain managed to score a goal near the end. Near the end, it was a big surprise. Yeah, el Hondurazo, el debut de España en Valencia. You remember that. But it was an interesting World Cup. Spain, the Spanish team was consisted of many players from the Real Sociedad. You remember it had Zamora, Perico Alonso, Satrústegui, I think, López Ufarte, I can't remember. I don't know. I don't have the team in front of me. But they played relatively well. They managed to pass into the second round. It was a strange World Cup. It wasn't played the normal way. But in any case, and I saw two matches in the World Cup. And the third match I had tickets for the final in the Bernabeu Stadium. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, in the English-speaking world, when people refer to El Estadio Bernabeu, they say Bernabeu, Bernabeu, Bernabeu. Bau es la proa de un barco, bow. Entonces suena como si dijeran quema una proa, Bernabeu, 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 Bernabeu. If you say Bernabeu, people perhaps don't understand you. Bernabeu. The final was in the Bernabeu, and I had tickets for it. They were given to me by the public relations manager of John Deere. But then he called me the day before, and he said, by the way, can I have those tickets back? And I was a bit disappointed because I was looking forward to seeing the final. The final was between Germany and Italy. Italy with Paolo Rossi, and Germany with Rummenigge and Netzer and Breitner. You remember, a good team, by the way. Both teams were very good. But it was the year of Paolo Rossi and the Italian team. During the first elimination, they didn't score a single goal. The Italian press was very disappointed and very attacking. But then they defeated Brazil. And it was a very interesting game. That game took place, I don't remember what day, but I was in the house of a student of mine. And I was teaching him. I was giving a class, and we kept the television on, but without sound, so I could conduct the class. And we noticed that Paolo Rossi scored a goal, and it was 1-0. I mean, we were surprised, and my God, Italy, they didn't score a goal in the first process of elimination, in the first three games they played, and suddenly they scored a goal against Brazil. But then right away, Socrates, a player for Brazil, scored a goal, and it was 1-1. But then Paolo Rossi scored a second goal. And this time, my student, Joaquin, we stopped the class and said, let's turn up the volume of the TV. And so we spent maybe the next hour watching the remainder of the game. It was a very exciting game in which the Italians defeated Brazil 3-2. And they went on to win the World Cup. They also defeated Poland in the semifinals. There was a Polish player who was very, very successful, Boniak, but he didn't play in the semifinals because of an accumulation of yellow cards. And so it's very sad. And then finally in the final, it was interesting because in the Bernabeu Stadium, in the Bernabeu Stadium, we had the King Juan Carlos, and on his left was Helmut Schmidt, the serious prime minister or chancellor of Germany, and on his right was the president of Italy, Sandro Pertini, who was about 80 years old. And in the final, Italy scored 3 goals. It was 3-0. And each goal, Sandro Pertini stood up and was gesticulating in a funny way. And finally, I think it was Breitner. Finally, Breitner scored a goal near the end. So the final was 3-1. But it was successful. It was a successful in Bernabeu and the Camp Nou and all of the Spain. It was a very successful World Cup in Spain. I remember that during that year, there were problems leading up to the World Cup. ETA planted a bomb in the Telefónica installations in Rio, in the Calle Rio Rosas, some of the most important installations. And it created a big problem because the World Cup was maybe 3 or 4 months away. Yes. Let me see if I can find some. Yes. Can you explain bombing of Telefónica facilities, 1982, Rios Rosas, and see if I can get some information on this. The bombing of Telefónica facilities in Rios Rosas was a terrorist attack carried out by ETA. It targeted the telecommunications facility. Yes. And it caused a big problem. And in a question of 2 months, Ericsson, Intelsa, managed to get it up and running again. And so this was, and second, there was a building, which is called Torre Europa, which is just diagonally opposite the Bernabeu Stadium, opposite also the Palacio Congresos, where you have the Pintura de Miró. And that building was supposed to be finished by the time the World Cup started, but they didn't finish. It was only about halfway built. If you look at pictures of the Bernabeu during the World Cup, perhaps you can see the building still under construction. And so it's a pity. They should have tried to finish that building so it wasn't an eyesore. Eyesore. Sore significa dolorido. Sore. Sore throat is una dolor de garganta. Sore. Sore también es como una llaga. And we say an eyesore, una llaga ocular. Algo en el, how would you say? Algo en la, the skyline. Que algo dentro de las estructuras de una ciudad feo. Que afea esa parte. We call it an eyesore. And that was a pity. But that was 1982. What else was important in 1982 in Madrid? Well, every year is important in Madrid. And we had the World Cup. Spain joined NATO. The general elections, Felipe González. The decline of UCD. Yeah, la UCD. Yeah, the decline of the company. The cultural boom, la movida madrileña, of course, was in its momento más álgido. The movida was in its the height, a countercultural movement, yeah, that tried and managed to reshape art, music, nightlife. Pedro Almodóvar, Alaska y los Pegamoides, you remember? Yes, Rocola, and a lot of places. And there was a lot of economic development. It was an important period. Enrique Tierno Galván was the mayor, and I think the president of the Comunidad. Yeah, who was the president of the Comunidad de Madrid? I'm not sure if they had that yet in 1982. I don't think there was a president yet in 1982. Juan José Rosón. All right. However, it's important to clarify that Madrid had not yet become an autonomous community with its own president. So he was not. It was a bit like Presidente de la Diputación, or at that time. Yes. But Madrid was growing. Later, José Luis Álvarez and Joaquín Leguina in 1983 became the first official president of the Community of Madrid was José Luis Álvarez, a member of the UCD, in 1983. But very soon after that, Joaquín Leguina. Yes. It's interesting about Joaquín Leguina. He had a, dijo una declaración una vez, a statement he made once, and I'm going to say it in Spanish. He said, el español es un ser que nace y muere. Y entre tanto intento aprender inglés. So he said, Spanish people are obsessed with English. So I imagine that Joaquín Leguina also suffered the lack of a good level of English, and it probably was bothered him a lot. And what was going on in 82? Well, Adolfo Suárez left UCD. You remember, he started a new political party called Unión de Centro Democrático. Centro Democrático Social, la CDS, together with Landelino Lavilla Alcina. You remember that? You remember these guys? Yeah. In 1982, also, Mr. Tejero and others were sentenced to long prison terms. After the coup in 1981, the sentencing, para sentencia, was in 1982, the trial of the military officers who were involved in the failed coup in 1981. All right. And they were sentenced to long terms of office. Felipe González, at the end of the year, of course, won the election with 10 million votes, I believe. Also in 1982, Andalusia gained its autonomy. Andalusia became una comunidad autónoma, an autonomous community, officially. All right. And Paco Martínez Soria died in 1982. Yes. Who won the league? Athletic de Bilbao, you remember. They won the league. It's interesting about those first 4 years, 1980, 81, 82, and 83. Well, really, 81, 82, 83, and 84, because La Liga está caballo entre dos años. But in any case, I'm going to have to take another break. Otherwise, I'm going to run out of time. But I'll come back maybe with a little bit of football. Who knows? In just a few minutes. So once again, stay close to the dial. I'll be right back.
Revive la emoción de la competición en Onda Madrid, donde cada domingo se apagan las luces del semáforo para trasladarnos todo lo sucedido en el Mundial de Fórmula 1.
MotoGP, rallies y Mundo Motorsport. La mejor fórmula para estar al tanto de todas las carreras, la previa, entrevistas y las curiosidades.
Una cita ineludible para amantes de la competición, donde periodistas, ingenieros y pilotos analizan en un mismo box toda la actualidad.
Te esperamos cada domingo de 12 a 2 de la madrugada con Juanma Fernández y todo su equipo.
Para que estés siempre en la pole position de la información del motor de competición.
Aquí, en Onda Madrid.
Restaurante J, cocina vasca, un referente de buena mesa en Chamberí, con la sencillez y honestidad de la cocina de siempre, donde comer bien, sin tontunas, con familia, amigos, tu cuadrilla, verduras, guisos de temporada y pescados salvajes al centro de la mesa. Restaurante J, una cocina para siempre, a 50 metros de la Glorieta de Bilbao. Reserva y disfruta.
101.3 y 106 FM, Onda Madrid.
Hello again and welcome back. All right, let's continue, shall we? I'm talking about 1982 in Madrid and in Spain and about my life as well. I was 30 years old and I turned 31 in November, a few days after Felipe González became won the election. I think he became officially the prime minister in December 1982. Yes. Also in 1982, Carlos Sainz began his career as a rally. Yeah, he began in 1982. It's interesting about football. In 1982, in the league, 1982-83, and then 83-84, Atlético Bilbao won the league. It was a surprise because in the two previous years, Real Sociedad, you may remember, Real Sociedad. Well, first of all, Atlético Bilbao. You remember they had Zubi, when Zubi Zurreta was very young. Yeah. Later, of course, he went to Barcelona. People remember Zubi as the Barcelona goalkeeper and for the Spanish national team. However, he began in the Atlético de Bilbao, and he was very good, the best in Spain, perhaps. And then they had in the, you remember Urquiaga in the defense? Goicochea, Andoni Goicochea. He was the fellow who broke Maradona's, well, he didn't break Maradona's leg, but he caused Maradona to lose most of the season because of an injury, because of Goicochea. Goicochea also scored an important goal in 1986, later in Mexico in the World Cup. And they had Lizarazu, you remember? Sarabia, Manolo Sarabia, you remember these guys? Oh, Dani, you remember Dani. I always remember Dani and Keeney in the late 70s and early 80s were two of the best strikers, the best forwards in Spain. Later, Keeney, of course, went to Barcelona. But Dani stayed. José Daniel Ruiz Bazán. He stayed in Bilbao, and he was the captain of the team. Very intelligent player with a very good scoring ability. You remember Dani and Sarabia? It's a good team. But my favorite team was the two previous years. You remember Real Sociedad with Arconada. You know, and you remember they had Gorriz and Defoe. It was a very good team. They had López Ufarte. They called him El Pequeño Diablo or something. I can't remember what they called him. But he was very, very good. They had Baquero, who later went to Barcelona as well. Satrústegui, their forward, their striker. And then in the midfield, they had Perico Alonso and José María Bueno Zamora. A very good team. Cortabarria. Remember these people? And it was interesting that for four straight years, neither Madrid nor Barcelona, neither Real Madrid nor Barca, won the league. And that's very, very strange. Maybe the only time in the history of Spanish football in which for four straight years, fijaos como digo, cuatro años seguidos, four straight, como cuatro rectos años, four straight years, también se admite 4 years in a row, cuatro años en una fila. 4 years in a row, four straight years. Also, you can say four consecutive years, pero no lo recomiendo, because Spanish people have trouble pronouncing the long U. Consecu. All right. So four straight years. And so it was an interesting year for Spain in 1982. Yes, in 1982. And did I go back to the States? No, I didn't. At that time, my parents and I had an agreement that 1 year we would go to visit them in Texas, and the following year they would come to Spain. At that time, my parents were living in 1982, my parents were living in Corpus Christi. No. Wrong. They were living in Austin, Texas. I remember because the previous year, in 1981, we went to the United States. We flew to Chicago. My father, not with my mother, my father drove from Texas to Chicago about 3 or 4 days. And he picked us up at O'Hare Airport in Chicago in 1981. And we drove to Moline, Illinois, and to Waterloo, Iowa. These were two important cities where they have facilities of John Deere, because we had friends working there. And so we visited the facilities of John Deere in these two cities. And then we drove down to St. Louis and then to the Ozark Mountains in southern Missouri. Very beautiful. And there I bought, in the hotel, in a very nice resort, I bought a puppet. una marioneta, bueno, un guiñol. Now, the puppet was a raccoon. A raccoon is a, how do you say raccoon? Un mapache. Un guiñol que era un mapache. Very cute. Very, very attractive. Very cute. 1 year later, in 1982, well, really 2 years later, I would say in 1983, I started using that raccoon to get my daughter to start speaking English. Because you see, from the time my children were born in Spain, I only spoke to them in English. And my wife, of course, is Spanish, and so she spoke to them in Spanish. So my children were exposed to two languages simultaneously. And I never spoke Spanish to my children, never. Now, my children could hear me speaking Spanish to my wife, of course. But when I addressed my children, I only spoke in English. However, I didn't insist that they speak to me in English. I didn't care. They could respond in Spanish. I didn't want to create anxiety. I didn't want to say, but dímelo en inglés. And they would say, no me apetece. So para que no cogieran manía mi idioma. No quería crear ansiedad, obligándole a usar el inglés conmigo. But I always used English with them. So they never noticed any type of threat, amenaza ninguna, about English. But if I said, Andrea, can you bring me a glass of water? Si vale, papá. She should bring me a glass of water. So she understood, and my son as well understood. But when my daughter was three, 1 year before my son was born, I wanted her to start speaking English. And so every night I read her a story before she went to bed, a bedtime story, always in English, of course. And I had cartoons in English, los teleñecos in English, you know, the Muppets in English, everything in English. But I wanted her to start speaking. And so I remembered the raccoon, el mapache, el guiñol, you know, the puppet. I remembered it from 2 years before that I had bought in Missouri. And so I put it on my hand and I lay down in the bed with my daughter. And I said to her, I said, Andrea, look, this is Andrew. So the name of the puppet was Andres. Andrew. I said, there's a problem. Andrew doesn't understand Spanish. And so I changed my voice and said, hello, Andrea, how are you? And she began to speak English to that silly puppet, but not to me. And, you know, it's funny. She was 3 years old. And, I mean, clearly she could see that I was putting the voice for the puppet. But it didn't matter. The puppet transported my daughter to an imaginary world. And she began to speak English to that puppet. And good English. They began to have long conversations in English. The puppet and my daughter. Even though I was clearly changing my voice, but placing the voice with Andrew the puppet. It's funny about child psychology. And the moral of the story, la moraleja de la historia aquí, the moral of the story, siempre dice of the story in English. La moraleja, se dice en inglés, the moral of the story, todo junto, is that if you want to teach very young children, the most effective way is to enter their imaginary world or to take them into an imaginary world. And then they assimilate or they respond very, very well. And so that was in 1981. And that was my parents at that time were living in Corpus Christi, Texas. But the following year, in 1982, which is the year I'm talking about right now, when they came to Spain to visit us, they had already moved from Corpus Christi, Texas, on the Gulf Coast, the Gulf of Mexico, or as Donald Trump says now, the Gulf of America. And they moved to Austin, Texas, Austin, which is the capital of Texas. And so they came to visit us. And I spoke about that. And we traveled to Toledo, to Manzanares. No, Manzanares es Real. Manzanares in Ciudad Real, I think. And then to Valdepeñas, and then down to Puerto Lapice, and then through over the, at that time, driving through the Despeñaperros before the Autovía. Yes. With a lot of traffic, a lot of cars. And then to Córdoba, and then to Granada. And then finally to Seville, and my sister returned. It was an interesting trip. Spain offers a lot. So, a lot of things happened in 1982 in Madrid. And I was very busy teaching English. And most of my clients were companies that were closely connected with engineering. And I have found that in my business, La Enseñanza Inglesa Adultos, at least half of all the students I have had, he said, 50,000 estudiantes, half of them were engineers. It's very important for engineers to know English. And if you don't know English and you have professional aspirations, it's, I would say, of the 10 doors of opportunity, 6 are closed if you don't know English well. 6 are closed. The other 4 are not. You can become a multimillionaire without English. It's not necessary. But, look at Amancio Ortega. I mean, when he quit school when he was 14 years old and started working in a shirt shop in La Coruña. And, of course, the rest is history. Until the age of 37, he worked for others, learning the business of textile, fashion, distribution, everything. And then at the age of 37, he started Inditex. And for the next, 20, 30 years until he became famous. So by the time Amancio Ortega became famous and everybody said, ¿Quién es este gallego? Who's this guy in Galicia? Well, he had been working for, 47 years maybe, to create an empire. Most empires, every empire starts with a molecule, but it takes a long time for these empires to become empires. Yes, but I have to go now. It's been a pleasure. Take care.